गणपतिगुं भवामहे कविङ्कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धागोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् So, we've been looking at the 10th chapter, and at the beginning of the text, then first Shri Krishna was giving the gist of what he's discussing about his vibhutis, his manifestations or glories, and the main point that he was giving, since he is what is in and through behind everything, all glories belong to him. We take glories as coming from the individual thing. Like, I'm going to say, look at these wonderful lights I have in the room here. And you'll smile and say, that is thanks to PG&E. PG&E is the electric company here in the Bay Area, for those who are out of the Bay, not in the Bay Area. So thanks to PG&E, it's the PG&E's glory, not your, the glory of the electricity in your house, like this. So the universal PG&E, like this, it's his glory like this. And then also, he started talking then about the bhaktas, who has the bhakti, the what we call the aneka rupa ishvara bhakti. He said first you have the eka rupa ishvara, where you have some form of the god, and you have devotion to that god. And the good thing about this, it opens the door, that there is something beyond what is visible in the world. It opens the door to that. And as it grows further, develops further, expands, then it becomes aneka rupa, where it's not that murti, but what's behind everything is the same God, one behind everything, like this. So this and this aneka rupa ishvara is where we're doing, where we're looking at the where we're folding the world into God. As we said, we have three different things that we're looking at. And if you have three, it's a little complicated to see how it's all connected, or more connected, that it's really the one. We're looking at Advaitam, and three is much more complex. So you take two. Here, as we're looking at the totality, then Ishvara and Jagat are folded into one. If Ishvara is behind Jagat, Jagat, the world, is then the manifestation of Ishvara. Now there's one thing, one universal thing, not two universal things. Otherwise, God and world are two universal things. So once those are consolidated, then you have Tatpada, the one, and you have Tvampada, individual one. Now you can equate these two. So actually, that's one of the things that he's been doing in the discussion, Shri Krishna, like that, folding those into one. And as we said, then you just have to see there's the totality in the individual, and then see why why they're one and the same. And we said the other way that they're folded, it's folded differently, is Atman Atma Viveka. You take the consciousness principle, that's one thing, and then the Anatma, the material principle. Then again, you end up with two things to look at. So once it's folded into two, then binary is much easier to deal with. Okay. So let's see where he's at here. Sri Krishna is talking about the Aneka Rupa Ishvara Bhakta. And of course, what he's going to be doing is he takes this and he's going to show how it goes into Arupa Ishvara Bhakta, meaning into, that's already not a bhakta. You can say bhakta, but it's going to be also jignyasu or jnani, somebody who is looking into Vedanta Jnana Yoga, or somebody who knows that, a jnani. So he's going to show how it goes into that. Actually, before we go into it, one thing that I had brought up last class, because last class many different things were brought up but weren't looked into in detail. So this one is better to look into detail because of the importance of it. This is a nice thing when we looked at the 8th chapter that Swami Dayananda, he brought up in his commentary. And there, what he did was he talked about, okay, one way that it's folded into that there is only the Ishvara, that there's only the oneness. So there he said, okay, one looks at the one is behind everything. And one behind everything, we say, okay, the name given for it, Brahman or Brahma. You hear Brahman, you hear Brahma, you hear both. Because Brahman is the word, is the root word before it goes through derivations. And so Brahman is the word, but then once it's used and it's used as the subject in the sentence, then it becomes Brahma, the na drops. It's just grammar, don't have to worry about that. So if it becomes a masculine noun, it becomes a Brahma, Brahma the creator. If it becomes neuter, it becomes Brahma. So Brahma is spaceless, because all expansive meaning spaceless. Because we say, okay, there is the creation came from something. You say it came from the God. So we could say Brahma, spaceless, because everything comes from that, including the space. We know the space comes from that too, because prior to creation, the space wasn't here. So only Brahman is there, or we can call it then Sat. Why we will call it Sat? Sat is what exists, right? Like, for instance, you have a wave and you have water. What exists is water. It manifests as the wave, because wave isn't a substance, right? Without, you take away, you'll say, you know, we can say what exists is gold and it appears as a necklace. And you'll say, no, a necklace is also a thing. I'll say, no problem. Let's divide it. I'll take the gold, then you keep the necklace. You're left with nama-rupa, name and form, that's all. Substance is gold. So substance, sat, what exists. And the definition of sat, that which is there in the three periods of time. Like if you take the necklace and gold, there is a clump of gold sitting in the jewelry shop. And then the jeweler came, made the necklace out of it. Then some lady purchased it, wore it for some time. She came back and said, no, I want to make bangles. So then he melts it down again and then makes bangles. So now what happens is the gold was there at the beginning, in the middle, and afterwards. The necklace was there just in the middle. That's why we say for the necklace, the sat is gold. Because otherwise, if the necklace has a temporary and dependent existence. Or if you want even an example that is even closer to the world, the sat of the movie is the projector light. Projector light was on, then they put the film, then the film was taken out. The film just appeared because of the projecting light, but the light was there all the time. The movie doesn't have an independent existence. So same way, so what's behind everything will be sat. So the whole world is sat. And as we discuss in Tattva Bodha, just to show how the sat can become everything, we show you need some, for it to become space, something manifest, then you need some catalyst that's going to make it manifest, and we said Maya Shakti, because there has to be something, and that Maya Shakti can't be something other than Sat. It has to be part of Sat. Meaning, Sat doesn't have parts, we'll explain in a moment, but it has to be dependent on it. Because otherwise, you now still have two things. You didn't get down to the bottom, what's everything made out of. So what happens then is, you have the power to dream, right? To dream, you have to fall asleep, right? To forget this world. So now, the ability to fall asleep, it exists because of you. If you didn't exist, how could your sleep come to be? First, you have to be there. So it depends on you. Without you, that power is not there, right? Somebody who's no more, their sleep, their dream is no more also. So it depends on them. Now, are you saying, oh, so there are two of them. There's the person and their ability to sleep. No, it's one. There's one person. So that's how you have the Sat, you have Brahman, and Maya can't be something other than that power of Brahman. From that space can come into being, and then all the other elements can come to being. From the space, the air can come, and from that can come the heat, fire, from that can come liquid, from that can come earth, so the solid. So everything develops from that. So then once you get the five elements, you can look at anything and see that it's made out of the elements. And what are those elements? Brahman, seen through Maya, the elements, and then you have just the one Brahman. So Swami Dayananda said, how then one sees this, sees the oneness, that person takes two steps. First of all, in this way, seeing everything is Sat. Everything is material. The table is here. Table is made out of wood. Okay, so wood is Sat for table. The wood is made out of molecules. The molecules out of atoms. Atoms out of subatomical particles. Science can keep going on another, you know, dozens and dozens or hundreds of steps down, but still, eventually, you'll have to come to Sat. Eventually, you have to come to Brahman, or Sat, the one substance which is behind everything. Because everything else changes, like a wave, the substance is something else. So now everything is Sat. So that's the first step. The devotee of the Aneka Rupa Ishvara devotee sees one is behind everything. So there's one behind, there's only Sat. First step, finished like this. Now the second step, he said, now you have an issue. There's Sat, but what about me? Me, first of all, I take this body. This body, what is it made out of? We call it annamaya kosha, made out of food, meaning made out of material body. That's really what it means. Because what is food? It's the physical material here. You know, certain all the physical material. There's an interesting thing. One Ayurvedic doctor once gave a talk and said that any substance is medicine. Medicine means something you can eat, something becomes your system, right? Because also Ayurveda, so much of the food is what you eat is food. So meaning any material is medicine, but it has to be in the right quantity, because something too much, it's poison, but a tiny amount is a medicine. So the whole world, material world, is my body's made out of the same stuff as the material world. So the body, can it be separate from Sat? How is it going to be separate? My energy. Again, energy is all around, comes from that same thing. So how can my energy be separate from Sat? Any level. You get to mind. Mind is thoughts. You know, now again, the computers are very helpful. You have your social media or your setting in your browser, all these things, your apps. All of that is coming from the universal set. All the stuff in my mind was my mind I didn't create. And then what was put in from parents, from teachers, from friends, from media. So everything together, it's part of the universal mind. It's like a wave in the universal mind. It's not something separate like this, right? So this and any ability that I have, it's a manifestation, like an app, right? Just like an app. So it's a manifestation. So everything I have then becomes universal. So everything is Sat. He said, then you're left with one thing though. And actually, Sat, before everything comes into being, there's only Sat. Before all the waves come into being, there's just the quiet water. And then something came and the water started moving. But there was water at first. before the movies on, now fancy theaters, but when we were small, I think most of us where we grew up was probably like this. In the makeshift movie theater, first of all, there's the projector light there, right? Then the person puts the film in front. And then, you know, a lot of the time in the middle, it tears, right? It tears and everybody makes noise, oh, I... And there's the light, only the light. So first there's the light, then the film will start. So first there's sat before everything. Before everything manifests, it will only be sat, right? So meaning everything is sat, everything is that. So all of my things I put aside sat. Now, he said, now a question comes up, what about myself as the awareful being, the consciousness? What about this? Say, well, if this isn't sat, meaning it didn't come as a wave, meaning it wasn't created, right? Because it, as a conscious being, it wasn't created then. Now, if it wasn't created, meaning before creation is only sat. So meaning it has to be, a sat, we say, is Brahman or Ishvara. Meaning this consciousness has to be that too. If it, otherwise, how could it be here and not be part of creation? It wasn't created, meaning it was always there, meaning it's not separate from sat. This is one way, a very interesting way to see how chit and sat have to be the same. Sat is always there, chit wasn't created, so it was always there. Chit meaning the conscious principle, consciousness principle. So it's not created, so it also had to be there before creation, so... And we said there's only sat before creation. So you can't separate the two. Can you put this one here, this one there? And in general, one of the main obstacles we have for Advaita is that we take sat and chit as two separate things. Sat is, there's the material world sat, outside. I'm conscious being chit inside. Now there's duality. I'm in here and there's the world out there. So this is one way that he explained from the universal scale how to say they can't be separate. There are other ways too. One of the other ways is, okay, you took all of this away in the first step. Now only chit remains other than sat. And chit you can't limit by anything, right? Identify with the body or mind so it's limited. But I'm aware of them, they're within the body and mind. Just as conscious awareness, there's no limitation because anything experienced can be within it. So chit, I can't find a limitation, and sat, I can't find a limitation. So now if there are two things that are not limited, you know, can you separate them? And then also you say, no, no, but there must be two separate things. You say, I am, and I know, right? Can you separate those two? I am, I know is the same. I am, and I know that I am. That's what I can say about myself directly. Anything else, then it has to have other stuff. Now, this table is, and I know that it is. Can you separate the table from your knowing the table is there? You can't. Anything you know is there. It's a manifestation of sat. It's also a manifestation of chit. It is, and you know that it is. You can never separate it. No, they found that the universe, they found some galaxies that were there. They don't know why it's there before Big Bang that are, you know, 10 billion light years away. So, well, they calculate whether they saw or did some calculations. So in the mind, they inferred those have to be this. Meaning, conscious principle and the object, sat and chit. So you can't separate, you can never separate the two. Like try to separate the movie character and the light. Separate the two. You can't separate. So when I look at it from materialist perspective, I'm this machinery with these eyes, and then I see an object, there's me and there's the object, then there's sat and chit you're separating. But when you really look at it, you can never separate anything that's material I perceive. There's sat and chit, and you can't ever separate the two. So this is the other way we're looking more from the individual perspective, from my experiential perspective. So these things, sat and chit, it's one of the, if one can crack this, that sees that sat and chit aren't separated, then you can't, there won't be any separation. How can I be separate then? Because anything, the chit is the sat, like this, okay? Like you can't say that they're two, seeming to like they're two. Like your whole dream, everything the dream is made out of is, can you separate? It's all in your mind, right? The material layer and you, the conscious being, you can't separate. Here we think it's different, but then we say when really analyzed closely, we'll see it's really one and the same. So again, I was going back to this just in more detail because a very pertinent deep point in Vedanta that Swami Dayanandji just touched on there. And I felt just mentioning it very quickly in the class, and then it's like glossing over something so essential that I wanted to take some more time to discuss it. And this is something in really in Vedanta we keep looking into, because how pertinent it is in this way. So let's continue from where we're at. We're in verse 10 now. Tesham satata yuktanam, tesham satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upayanti te, yena mam upayanti te. To them who are ever steadfast and who worship me with devotion, I give that yoga of wisdom by which they reach me. So talking again about the Aneka Rupa Ishvara Bhaktas, so Sri Krishna is saying, okay, so they will come to me in this way. So who are they, Tesham, these ones, these Aneka Rupa Ishvara Bhaktas, who see the God in and through behind everything, Satata Yuktanam, they're always connected, right? They have unbroken Wi-Fi, right? When we have some places, they say it's up 99.9% of the time. So they see how when I go and I pray and I feel I'm connected to Ishvara, then I go about my day and I'm busy with everything else. Then maybe evening I do a little bit of prayer, I'm connected a little bit, then done. Right? Special occasion, I invite the God I feel is present within the puja and this. Finish now social time for social things, and then God, you know, God can go. An interesting thing in some of the rituals, right? They do avahanam, they invoke the deity within the, and the deity's now within that idol and everything. And then when it's finished, then gacha gacha, okay, you can go now. So again, that's our Eka Rupa Ishvara. For some place, time, the God is there. Very good. That's introductory. But here, saying always see, not forgetting that connection, the connection, not forgetting what is behind this. Always seeing that, yes, the world is manifest, all the things are happening, and I have to do my duties and whatever I have to do in day-to-day life, but that same thing is always there behind. Same Ishvara always there behind everything. Understanding that any other relation that I have is an incidental one. Incidental. Even this whole lifetime, this relation with certain people, it's incidental because of my relation this life. After this life, then, you know. Even if it's seven lifetimes, right? That's seven lifetimes. What is seven lifetimes in eternity? Which is just an assumption, we don't know, right? But the fundamental relationship, like the wave with the ocean, fundamental relation is always there. Two waves come together somehow in the ocean. Yeah, there's some incidental relationship. Be there for some time, but eventually they're separate. But the relation with the ocean is, you can't, it's not incidental, it's intrinsic, can't be separated from. So somebody like this who sees in this way. Okay. Also another interpretation of this will be somebody who has the mature spiritual understanding that this is the fundamental thing to look into. That all the other things that I look into, personal or professional or worldly or scientifically, they're all incidental things that can be useful for, it's not that they're not useful within my life, But they're not the fundamental essential thing. And the reason I know that is that they can all help with something, but they can't go to the core root of the human problem, right? Where this one is the fundamental thing because it takes me to the root of the problem, helps to go to the, get to the base. So that's where this satatayukta nam of those who are satatayuktas, who are always connected, are always looking into this. And bhajatam, they worship, or worship can also be them. You know, they're looking into what is the essence. Priti purvakam, they're doing it with full eagerness, full love for the subject matter. A subject matter that you like a little bit, or you feel is important, you look into it to some extent. But to really go to the essence of something, you have to really love that thing, or you're not going to do it. Like, you know, example, I have a living example here, because my wife, the dance, she is at one with Odissi dance. There's nothing, you know, at one with it. So she is both knows it in and out, she's a real master of it, number one. And number two, all the mind can always be going into it like this. If she lives hundreds of years, she'll never get tired of it and always find the different aspects and depths and everything like this. So here, to really go to the essence, I have that love has to be developed to it. And the thing is, the more one understands what's being looked into, the more the love will be there, because it is the essence of love itself too. Because what is love? I feel that I'm seeing beyond something limited, beyond the limitation of separating me from something else. Somebody loves something, some hobby, or doing something, because when they're with that, when they do it, the idea of separation from it is going away. Right? We all love to sleep, deep sleep, right? For that reason. I feel at one with it. We love family or friends like this because I feel less of a separation. So here, as somebody looks into it, this one really will, the love of Ishvara through anekarupa bhakti, and then through jnana, is going to be a much deeper love than for the deity, because the deity, it's to something limited. At that time, I feel that I'm uplifted, but here, I see that it really takes me beyond all the limited ideas of myself, the limited ideas of my own ego. So then that's what I'm really looking for, right? I look for in relations, and that helps, but it has a limitation, right? Because that's in specific time, place, person, etc. But here it doesn't matter, because it's with anything, in anything, anybody, any place. I see emerge beyond myself. So this is how the love develops, and so in Vedanta we say through understanding this love develops, because I understand, the more I understand that it's all just Ishvara behind everything, which is my own Atma, then how much more I will, then that understanding will have the love to develop. And dadami buddhi yogam tam, to them, right? Dadami buddhi yogam tam, this yoga, tam is this. This buddhi yoga, buddhi, right? Jnana yoga. I give them this jnana yoga, right? So very interesting. Here again, why give this jnana yoga? Isn't there bhakti, just worship me enough? This isn't us trying to just interpret Gita, but it's what Shri Krishna is saying. He gives them this, yena, by this buddhi yoga, mam upayanti te, they come to me, they obtain me. So very interesting. If only bhakti, only worship, only feel the presence of God, finished. Got one God behind everything, very good. I keep myself at a safe distance, I'm still safe, meaning my self-identified ego is safe with that God there, and that's enough, I'm going to get to the ultimate, then why is giving the buddhi yoga? Why the jnana yoga needed? So this is where showing this is essential for getting to the truth like this, okay? So what happens is, okay, so in order to get to it, he gives them the Jnana Yoga, meaning if those who are devoted like this, naturally, eventually develop the desire to know. The desire to know, the desire to get to this. And then they want to know it, and then from that it will develop. That, right? When the student is ready, the teacher is there, they say. So Shri Krishna says, when they prepare properly, then I'll, you know, the teacher, the teachings, the scripture, everything I will provide, it'll come to them. This is what he's pointing out, okay? And what happens then is, okay, so then through this, then Ishwara's grace comes in the form of the teaching of the guru, of all these things, comes in this way. And what happens is the grace, what is it? It's also karmapala. Karmapala, because from the, any action brings its reaction. So somebody's doing a lot of worship, somebody's doing a lot of meditation, somebody's doing purification, also from that result comes in these forms. That's what is said about it, that it's not that it's just great, because if grace is something that the God gives to a certain person, there must be a reason why it comes there. The preparation is there, the grace comes in that way. With this idea of grace also, one student of Swami Vivekananda was talking to him and said, you know, please, I pray for your grace. Right? He wants to be blessed, please bless me so that I can be successful in the spiritual path. So Swami Vivekananda, he said, the wind of grace is ever blowing. You just have to open your sail and it'll take you. It's ever there. It's not something, how can the God give the grace specifically this one? You remember earlier on, in the previous chapter, I think it was, or earlier in this chapter, it said, why the Jnana Bhakta, why this one he's giving the, he's helping to get moksha, not the other one. Why for this one he's giving moksha, but the Nishkama Bhakta, he's giving moksha, but he's not giving to Sakama Bhakta. They're both bhaktas, that's not fair. He said, no, that's not the issue. It's there, moksha is there. But one is looking for moksha, one wants to see what is beyond this limited, one is wanting something specific from the God, so it doesn't want that. Even if the God comes and gives it, he's not interested, I don't want that. I don't want all this. I want just, please just protect my family, and that's it. Please just help with this. That's what this bhakta is asking for. So, you know, you get something from Amazon, it's not what you ordered, you return it. Right? No, I'm not interested in that. So the same way. So let's see, he'll talk then about his buddhi yoga he's going to expound on.
Tesham evanukam paratam. Aham ajnana jantamaha. Nashayam yatma bhavastaha. Jnana deepena bhasvata.
Out of compassion for them, I, remaining in their intellect, destroy the darkness born of ignorance by the brilliant light of knowledge. Very interesting here. So tesham, to these satata yukta yuktis, these who are ever steadfast in seeing the one behind everything, and then to whom this Jnana Yoga has been given, okay, to these ones. Now what happens is, this verse is said, it answers a few questions, two questions. One is, why is this Buddhi Yoga given? Again, because somebody will say, I'm a bhakta, isn't that enough? Why do I need jnana? That's one thing. And the second is, okay, so jnana means having a clear vision. A clear vision, understanding, that's what jnana is. The snake was there, seemed to be there, meaning I saw it, but when I had a clear vision, when I put on the flashlight, I could see it clearly. So what got in the way of my not seeing? Why couldn't I see it clearly? So here, what gets in the way of my clear vision? Right? Vedanta says, you are the consciousness, and really it's just the consciousness, everything else is just some misunderstanding. Why don't I see it? So why is this jnana needed for that? What's getting in the way? Okay. So here says the anukamparitam, only by, he's giving it pure compassion, meaning giving it that Shri Krishna isn't needing to get anything back from it. Why would Shri Krishna need anything? If Shri Krishna needed something from it, meaning he needs something back, why does he need something from it? What does Shri Krishna need? Like this. What does the Guru need? If the Guru needs something, then the Guru isn't Guru. Right? The Guru is also samsari, needs the devotees around to help with that. If it's true Guru, the devotees around doing things, okay, because they want to do. Maybe it's helpful for their growth, so lets them do some service. And if they help with something, okay, very good. But the Guru, if the Guru is dependent, physically we're dependent. We have to eat, we need a place to sleep, so physically we're dependent, but psychologically. If Guru is psychologically dependent, then they're also bound samsara. And they're helping this Swami Tattvedananda is very critical about. He says, that's a problem that happens a lot of the time. Guru is psychologically dependent. People are psychologically dependent Guru, and it's becomes mutual, and then what happens? It's just samsara. That please, Guru should know not to be psychologically dependent. Make sure that others aren't like this. When Swami Dayananji left his body, somebody had asked Swami Viditatmananda, one of his close disciples, how is it like? He left and everything. He said he taught them to be self-sufficient. Like this, not that they're, there might be some emotional thing there, but they know that's not the primary teaching, pointing out, tattvamasi, you're that, right? So this is, so Shri Krishna giving just, he's teaching Arjuna, because Arjuna wanted to learn, not for Shri Krishna to get something out of it in this way. And this is something actually, I learned at least in myself. Each person has their own, goes through their own growth, own place and time. But I know that having been in ashram, we always tell people, please come, please come. Now, my guru would do that, and I'm sure he'd do it because he knows they come there, it'll be beneficial for them. But as follower, we just try to come and we think that's the right thing to do. We want them to be there so we get dependent on the people coming. Where he, when he was, he went on peace mission, he used to go fly on these peace missions. He decided that to show that the borders are just in our minds. We're troubling each other with borders and we're separating just in our minds. So he said the birds can just fly across. We should be able to fly across too. So we just learn how to fly a plane, we'll fly across borders. When he flew from Israel to Egypt a long time before there was any peace treaty, and when in Egypt, they put him in prison for a few days till they found, this is just a crazy peace mission person, okay, let him go. But when he was in prison, the co-pilot who I know went with him, helped him to navigate. Then he was just so much at peace. He just meditated. He was so happy because he has this big organization. Now he's free from it. He can just relax and meditate quietly. How would we feel if we'd be there? Because not dependent on the organization, the people around. So that's what I also learned, is that, yes, we have some classes, it's as a service. True, by doing it, I do grow and I learn. I'm very happy we have it. But if I'm dependent, okay, you guys come. And if you don't come, what'll happen? I'll try to make, I'll call, oh, you haven't come for some time, please come. I should call and check, are you okay? Everything okay? Please come. But no, it's not for me. Oh, very good, okay. Join us when you can. Otherwise, becomes a dependent thing. So, of course, we can aspire to it, but the Guru, Shri Krishna, is going to do it just out of pure service, compassion, not with anything in return, like this. True karma yoga, I do without anything in return. So Sri Krishna has to be the example, right? Karmanyavadhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. So Sri Krishna is living up to it. Also later on he'll talk about how a few things as Rajastama Sattva. So one of them is dana, giving. You give something should be in the right time, right place, to the right person, in the right manner. So same with this. If you try to preach Vedanta, it doesn't work, has to be given. Right time, place, people that are interested, sharing, discussing like this. So Sri Krishna gives to the people the right time, place, right way. It has to be the right example of dana in this way. So this is this, how he's doing fully out of his compassion. Then Atma Ajnana Jamtamaha. This is saying what is the obstacle, right? Atma Ajnana. Aham Ajnana Jamtamaha. So as I'm giving this, what is it? Jnana Jamtamaha. The ignorance born out of darkness, right? Interesting. Ajnana Jamtamaha. Yeah, the ignorance born out of the darkness. What is my ignorance? I take myself to be what I am not. And that's born out of darkness, out of the ignorance of it. What happens is this. I go to sleep. Now there's an ignorance of who I am as this waking person. I'm a person. I live with family. I have a good job. Everything balanced good. Now there's ignorance of that. Now I take to be myself somebody in trouble. What's going to happen? And I'm all alone. Nobody to take care of me. And there's a big problem like this. That's because that ignorance, there was an ignorance, and then this darkness came up that I take myself to be what I'm not. So here, ignorance of myself, ignorance of what the reality behind everything else. This is in Maya. There's two powers of Maya. It says, Shakti Dvayahi Maya Ya Vikshepa Vritti Rupakam in the Dhritisha Viveka. There's the Avarana Shakti, the ignorance. I don't see clearly. Then I project something else. I don't see the rope clearly, I project a snake. I don't see what I am clearly, what the world is clearly, I project the duality, separation. So this is the issue. So this is why this is given, because I have this issue, Ajnana Jamtamaha, this one. And what, aham what, nashayami, I destroy this. Earlier on, previous verse said, dadami buddhi yogam, I give the buddhi yoga. Now he's saying, through this buddhi yoga, I destroy this ignorance. Right? The ignorance, I take myself to be something which I'm not. When there's an error that causes a problem, the moment I see clearly, the whole problem is gone. Right? The problem from the snake, once I see it's a rope, all the problem from the snake is gone. Nothing left. No problem left. Okay? It's not that I need to call the animal control to help get the snake because I'm afraid I'm not to catch it or anything. The Fremont animal control, I had one incident with them because in our garden in the back, there was a chicken that somebody moved and left chicken behind. It was going around terrorizing. It kept coming in and digging up and eating things in our garden. So when I contacted animal control, they came. So Fremont animal control came and so I said, okay, where's the chicken? I said, I don't know. There's some yard nearby where it's like a jungle. Nobody lives there. Maybe hanging out there in the meantime. Yeah, if you catch it, we'll take it. I said, but that's why I called you. So the snake, I don't have to call animal control for the snake because I see what it is clearly like this. That chicken sometime disappeared. What happened to it? I don't know. It's karma. Whatever it dealt with, it's karma, whatever it is. Hopefully found a good home, somebody's taking care of it nicely, but who knows? We don't know the story. But in any case, so, before gave the buddhi yoga, now what is it? Destroys the ajnana. Now one thing is this. when we have the snake there, few people see the snake and they're very frightened. One of them wants to go and bring a bat and hit the snake, right? Kill the snake. Wants to do this because it can be dangerous. If it's poisonous, it gets away, might bite somebody else. So one person wants to do this. Okay. Another person is there, and they say, "I know a special mantra to make sure that it doesn't disturb anybody. Antidote mantra for snake or snake bite. So I'm going to do japa, repeat this. It'll take care of it." Like this. So this is karmi and upasaka, like this. Third one says, wait, before you hurt the poor snake, before you start doing all your japa, let's look at it closely, right? Puts on the light and then sees it's a rope. Now, if somebody beat it with the stick, would that get rid of, that wouldn't get rid of the idea that it's a snake. The idea would still be there. Is it still dead? Is it still moving? I don't know, right? Oh no, now I did a big papa. I hurt the animal, the poor animal. It's ahimsa. Oh no, poor me. The other one will do, but still there's the fear of the snake there. Another snake may be seen. Oh, I better do. Still, there's that fear. But when it's looked at closely, jnanam, then the whole... here it's the ajnana, ajnana jamtamaha. Ajnanam, that it's a snake. The darkness of that knowledge, the darkness of knowledge, I mean, I don't know it's a rope, so the darkness is I see something else. Once that's removed, no problem. So I myself have all these problems as an individual dealing with all these things, and then I take myself to be this limited one, out of, I don't see what I am, and I jump to another conclusion. Then, so what is Shri Krishna saying? He's going to teach the Buddha Yoga, Jnana Yoga. From that it becomes clear, and this will be, he'll destroy this. It'll be removed. Now, very interesting, you'll say, okay, very good. So Shri Krishna is going to come as avatar, right? Yada yada hi dharmasya. He's going to come, and he's going to save me. But he says, what is it? Nashayami? Atma bhava staha. I appear within the mind, is the thought in the mind. Very interesting. Not something outside. We take the God as something outside, separate, and then I'm going to pray, please help me. But then I'm going to always be dependent that God's going to come and help, and that God is something else, somewhere else, separate from me. Okay? That's the ekarupa bhakta. Ekarupa Ishwara Bhakta will be like this. But here saying no, by their understanding, their viveka. They had aviveka, now through the viveka, and viveka is in the intellect, understanding, it's in the mind. Through that, I'm going to remove it. So very interesting. Samsara isn't removed from something outside, but through my own understanding in this way. Now, what's interesting here also, when Shri Krishna is saying this, I will remove it, there's a good reason for this as well. I will remove my ignorance. Doesn't work. Let's say you're in your dream, right? How is the dream, as the character in the dream has some problems, wants to remove, I want to get rid of all the problems, I want to transcend it. Do you as the individual in the dream wake yourself up from the dream? You can't, right? The individual identity and the whole individual identity is part of the dream. So that whole individual identity in the dream can't wake itself out of the dream. Something else has to wake you up. Now, what happens really, you wake up and you see that that whole idea that you're that individual in the dream was a misconception. That's all that it was. So that, no problem. So here, I will get jnana. I will get jnanam, I will find it. The I itself, the idea that I'm this one, is born out of this ajnana. So that's why I said, I will remove it, meaning you, the individual, can't remove your own ajnana. Because I, the individual, is born of ajnana. That's the tamaha, the darkness. Right? They say the shadow self. We identify with the shadow, not with the real one. Because Ajnana Jam, it's born from ignorance like this. So it says, I in the form will come in the mind in the form of Viveka and resolve this. And how? Jnana Deepena Bhaswata, by shining as the light of knowledge, right? The light of the flashlight, symbolizing light of knowledge, made it clear that it's not a snake, that it's a rope. Light of knowledge here clarifies that I'm not the individual by this viveka, this clarification. So really in the end, the whole Upanishad, the Shastra, that comes like this, Bhagavad Gita is extrapolated from Upanishads. There, the main thing, it's not going to show you Atma, take you to Atma, but it's going to destroy the misconceptions, remove the Krishna, Karshati, takes away the sins, meaning removes the ignorance, clears the misconceptions, then what is there, right? Then you just are within your own self. So that's why the jnana yoga is really to remove the ignorance. You remove the ignorance, then you are there. So interestingly on this, Swami Dayananji wrote some very pertinent points on this. He said like this, the usual mean, pramana, is usual means for knowledge that we have. Like for instance, I see, right? I see you, so I know it's you. I know each one of you, because, and I see you because my eyes. This is called pratyaksha pramana. I see something, so I know it. Now I see and I know depends on I, the karta, the individual, the ego. I know you. With that, so it has to be me to know it. So this one is karta-based, individual-based, the ego-based. And other forms of pramana are the same. I infer, right? The classical example for inference is, there's fire, you know, I see smoke, so there's a fire. Because wherever there's fire, there's smoke. So one time here, we were out front. It was some holiday, Diwali or something. So we're out front in the front yard and I see smoke coming. Oh, big smoke. So I went one half a block down and I saw, okay, some people were getting ready to do a barbecue. So the beginning of it, there was a big, you know, the fire was kind of big. So I was going, okay, so it wasn't a problem. Because of that pramana, of where there's fire, there's smoke, inference. Inference also depends that I'm inferring. So it also depends on you as individual. Any other thing like this, there are five pramanams that are given. There's that, there's anupalabdhi, something isn't there, right? So I infer that, you know, that it's not there. Like for instance, somebody is there and their son is there, says, this is my son, he's going to medical school, but my older one is, you know, living in this place, doing this and this job. So the older one, well, I infer that, you know, that's the one that's not there. Maybe that's not best example, but by something not being there, you infer. That's also a way to know. It depends on me there. So other types of inference, different types of inference can be there. Now here, for Atma, it's not going to be pratyaksha. You're not going to see it or touch or smell or anything. Senses can't do it. Right? And those are based on individual. It's not going to be inference. Do you infer that you are? Are you there? Let me see. Where there's smoke, there's fire, where I, you know, some inference. You don't need to infer. So none of these do. That's why we say it's aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha means it's not pratyaksha, not paroksha. Paroksha is something that's not immediately there. So inference. You, not through senses, but then through mind. So it's not pratyaksha, not through senses, not paroksha, not through some other, you know, not immediately, but through some other, meaning through the mind. So immediate knowledge, aparoksha, meaning direct knowledge. You don't need anything to say, I am, right? You know that you are, regardless, you don't need sense, you don't need mind to know, I am. Right? It's immediate. Now what happens is, how this knowledge comes about, because here talking about jnana dipena, by the light of knowledge, how it happens. as we said, I can't be the one to say, to decide, to think, okay, I am, because that again is, if I just say for myself, then this individual saying I am that. And this individual is part of the ajnana. That's why shravanam. That's why, because what happens, this other, one other pramanam is called, shruti pramanam. You hear, right? There's a shabda pramanam, the word. Because the word can also help. What is this? And somebody points it out. Oh, that is, you know. Somebody points it out, it removes. It removes that. So, you read the newspaper, shabda pramanam, now you know what's happening. Election results, right? Who won some sort of sports thing, right? What's happening in the stock market? Whatever it is, you read the news. What happened? Scientific discovery. It points it out, now you know, the shabda. But here the shabda pramanam is about you in sharavana. And here what happens is, you as the individual, it's pointing directly to you, not you the individual that I know. It's not your inference, but when a proper guru and proper, you know, we listen properly, I put myself out of the way, I hear the thing and it points directly to me. Not, so I'm not inferring what I am, who I am, I'm not thinking, I'm not seeing, it's just directly, you're that, right, like this. You are that, tattvamasi. So points directly to that. And then it's not a knowledge based on anything else. Points directly to, yes, you're the awareful being. You know, you're aware of the body, aware of mind, aware, but you're the awareful being regardless of these. It points to that. You hear it, and it's not, and then it's not something that's coming from your inference, coming from any other means directly to that. And so in this way, it's pointing to that. And the knowledge itself is, knowledge is buddhi, it's an intellect. So the understanding, that will be an intellect, but that understanding won't be, it's not a subjective, I'm the subject. The whole subject collapses with that. I'm the subject, and there's the object, and there's some way that I'm seeing it or understanding it. Because it's not that you're understanding something, you are that. So when it points to that, the whole idea of subject, you're the subject, collapses too. And it points directly to that. So this is in general how Swami Dayananji was explaining how pertinent the Shabda Pramanam is, how you sit in Sharavanam, listen, so it points directly to you. It points to you, and that when it points to you, it's not to you, the individual, the mind, but you, the awareful being, points to that. And then that kind of knowledge is a different kind of knowledge, because it's not knowledge of the from the individual. It's just you directly. Like this. So this is the jnana deepa. The jnana deepa then, the light of knowledge then is something, I am the light of knowledge, right? Just some clouds are there that identified with it, made a little misconception. Now the jnana deepa also, the light of knowledge, is, let's say, you know, we have this small lamp here. Let's say we're lighting it outside. You want to make a campfire outside, and it's windy and all. Then when you start it, you have to really guard it well, right? Guard it well and put just a little kindling and keep. It takes time for it slowly to catch on. You have to be patient with it. And if you let go over for a little while, then the wind will come, it goes out. So it's something one has to care for it to slowly grow in this. So in this way, when we look into these things, then in order for that light to stay stable and slowly start burning, one has to stay with it, right? Because most of the dealings I have with life are not helping to point to this. That's the wind, everything in the world. Not helping to point to this thing. They're everything else other than this. That's Maya, right? That's the world. Nothing wrong with it. Just, that's why the Aneka Rupa Ishvara Bhakti is so important. Slowly look instead of what's behind the thing instead of the thing. Looking to Karana instead of Karya. What's behind the cause, not just the effect. Like this. So then the regular, I Shravanam regularly keeps helping to bring me to that point. And then keep the light burning. I reflect on the things. I do my mananam. I keep taking the things I learned in the class and thinking about in my mind, understanding, repeating it. That helps then also to stabilize more. Right? Nididhyasanam. I meditate on the things. Like we were doing the Omkara meditation sometime. You can meditate on these things different ways. We can do more meditations over time. Like this, to solidify. Eventually when it catches fire, then nothing will keep, when it's big enough, nothing will put it out. It starts catching. Actually, what happens, sometimes it starts catching and then you leave it. Okay, it's okay. And then it gets put out by something. So that's why one has to stay with it, because when the conflagration is there, somebody has very strong jigyasa, nothing will get in the way. It'll have to go on its own. But in the meantime, I have to keep tending it, because otherwise it can just get lost. So that's the jnana dipena, it's a lamp of knowledge. But then I have to really stay with it to make it, let it grow and grow and grow strong and stable. Otherwise, this great gift we have to really look into this thing can get lost. A similar example I'll give you, because for many years, right, of teaching yoga, having been in Shivananda centers and all, then there were a number of times where somebody middle-aged or elderly would come for a class. For me, they're new. They'd come and they'd do some yoga and everything, and they'll say, you know what? In 1973, I did yoga teacher training course of Sai Vishnavananda Ji, and I've served in the ashram for under 2 years. I don't know, for a few decades I wasn't with it. Why did I keep away from for so long? Like this, they'd say. I've had quite a few cases like this. I'd say, okay. Well, that was the time. Good you're back. You get back to it like this. So I look into these things, this deep thing. I want Vedanta starting to point out to me, right? If it gets blown out, two decades later, I come back to it. Oh yeah, I was used to look into that. It's too bad why did I stop in this? Then I'll feel sorry that I, again, if that happens, that was the right thing for us. When I come back to it, I don't know, then if I hit myself with the head, why didn't I do, blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't for me then, that's fine. I'm glad I'm here now. But while I'm here now I want to tend to take care of it, to really look into it, and not just to, if I don't care for it, then it can, very easily get swept away by everything else. So just a few thoughts on this. Jnana dipena bhaswata, it's like this, points out, it points in this way, okay? So this. But this point, how the ajnanam is destroyed, that Swami Dhananjaya is pointing out, it is in the intellect, because knowledge is intellect, but it's not born from individual, born from shabda paramanam, the words pointed by the Upanishads, where the Guru points it out, and you hear it, but it points directly to you, not you the individual. And that knowledge is not, you're not the subject, and the subject is gone, collapses, if you want, like this. That points out what it is. So that's this power of this study of Shastra, of Shravanam, and why it's done in Shravanam too. When you read, you're the karta, it's based on you, you understand. You're driving like this. Here I'm present, I'm aware, but not, the individual's put aside. That's why Shravanam, just listening closely, the words and what they're pointing to. That's the important thing, because I'm listening, I'm just caught up too much in intellect. And some people too much caught up in what are the jokes, the stories, and everything. Jokes and stories mostly. Where they're helping some points, or to, let the mind relax a little before next thing. In this way. Yes, it was said like this before, but I'm not so sure if it's like that. Maybe it's a little different. The mind starts. So many, many things that get in the way instead of just listening to, and staying with what it's pointing to. that really the Sharavanam then helps to point to what is the essence like this. So he was pointing that out, Swami Dayananda, because this is the, exactly, Shri Krishna's pointing out what is this Jnanadipa and why buddhi yoga given to the individual, because that points to the essence. Other things can help, but they're not the act, they can't get rid of ajnanam because they're not the right, the problem is ajnanam, problem is intellectual issue, misunderstanding. So something else can't get rid of that. Like one example that's given is, I want to learn physics. So I go to a great physics teacher and I do puja to him. Right? I do service to him. He's very happy also, I do service and everything. Now I'm going to expect after I do this for a while, I'm going to know physics. I can do all those things, revere and take care of everything, so be close, see how the person acts in this, and but I'm going to want the person to teach me physics. Right? I want to learn what they'll teach, and I want to be a good student to learn it. Right? And here in the example too, in our text too, Shri Krishna isn't blessing Arjuna, right? Okay, may you be liberated of this, may you... No, Shri Krishna is teaching Arjuna, right? Arjuna's learning, asking questions, everything. So, that's the Buddhi Yoga. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Very good. Thank you all for joining. Things like this, if there are any questions, you know, take time, also think about things that are unclear and some of the things, you know, bring up and we can discuss more, because these pertinent points, that's very important for us to look into. And when you think about it, everything, something's not clear, I didn't explain well, or logic wasn't right how I did, you know, we should discuss more, because very pertinent points, okay? Very good.
Thank you, Krishna.